Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here once again for Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. So, are you good at conversations with others on highly confrontational, disputatious issues? If you are, give me a call right away because you're one of the few that can do it. Talking with others about difficult subjects, and today we're talking about climate change and politics associated with that, is something that a lot of folks are not very good at. I've been working on that subject for a number of years, and I would say that my skills are just so-so. But that's what we're going to be talking about today, talking to others about climate change. And just to be clear, I'm not discounting the value of talking about climate change with our colleagues, those who agree with us. I'm just going to bring up the subject of talking with those that don't quite agree with us or maybe significantly disagree with us, because it's so important to have those conversations, those difficult conversations. Let's start by talking about somebody who really is good at this subject. There are a few climate scientists that are as respected or as vocal as Texas Tech's Catherine Hayhoe. Catherine is an atmospheric scientist and professor of political science at Texas Tech, where she's director of the Climate Science Center. She's also the CEO of her own consulting firm, Atmos Research. They talk to cities, municipalities, other governmental organizations around the United States about how to best configure in terms of climate change. She's also on the Nature Conservancy as a chief scientist, and she serves on the board of directors of my organization, Citizens Climate Lobby. She's a pretty amazing individual. I'm mentioning her now because she says the key thing we can do as individuals is to talk to others about climate change. Yale Climate Opinion, and there's a website that I encourage you to go to regularly, reports that based on their surveys, 42% of Washingtonians, yes, those of us right here in Washington State, talk to others about climate change at least occasionally. 42% of us talk about climate change at least occasionally. The survey doesn't distinguish between conversations with the climate concerned and with the science deniers. I know in my own case, it's very difficult for me to talk to someone who is skeptical about climate change. My fear is that the conversation will quickly become me versus the other person, and from there will blow up into long-term hard feelings. There's lots said and written on the topic of talking to others about politically sensitive issues, especially in this toxic partisan environment we're currently living in. So all is not lost. Conversation is possible, but I'm saying that it takes great skill and forethought, and relying on our cultural model just doesn't work. And I should emphasize that what I'm about to say here applies in one-on-one or small group conversations, situations where there's plenty of time to explore sensitive topics with someone you regularly talk to. And when I say plenty of time, I'm talking about months, not minutes or hours. When we're speaking before a group or looking at comments on Facebook or other social media, we can't let falsehoods and myths and science denial stand without comment. But those comments go to the general audience. You're not going to get involved in an argument with the denier. That's a waste of your time, and it simply reinforces in some people's minds the point that the denier is making. Talk directly about the truth of climate change to the larger audience. Don't argue with the individual. So I've mentioned the cultural model, so just for a second here, let's talk about the cultural model of how we do conversations when we disagree with each other. At the base, we have a very binary system in our culture. Win-lose, guilty-not-guilty, right-wrong. Not much room for nuances in our system, and because we are a representative democracy where our opinions make a difference, we all have opinions, many opinions, and some of those are fiercely held to. And anything that hints at disagreement quickly can become a person A versus person B, and there's no one there to referee. No wonder we tend to avoid difficult conversations in our society. Let's imagine for a minute that George and Harry are having coffee together. Harry makes a comment suggesting that concerns about climate change are overblown, and that he says the whole thing is a leftist tactic to give more power to the government, power that he is suspicious of. And in reply, George says he believes that 97% of scientists say the Earth is warming, and the warming is caused by fossil fuel emissions. Both Harry and George have been suspicious for some time that the gulf between them, as longtime friends, is growing because of their differing political ideology. This is the first first time the subject has come up between them, and rather than have a confrontation, they just drop the subject, both of them hoping to not make things worse and to preserve their friendship. This is more than likely the last time the subject will ever come up between them. I think that similar scenarios, or at least concerns about encountering such a scenario, keep people from talking about climate. So is there no hope for having these conversations in a way that works? I think there is hope, and personally I have had some success with what I'm about to sketch out here. Referring once again to our cultural model, that model holds something like, if two people disagree on something, that each should present the facts supporting their point of view, and the one with the best facts will win the day, and the other will be convinced. Like a lot of cultural models, this model is deeply embedded, and it just doesn't work. And at the same time, if that model is so deeply embedded in this, it's mostly invisible. That potential disagreement shows up, the two parties to the disagreement start marshaling their facts, their resources, their arguments, and preparation to do battle with the other, each convinced that he or she is correct and the other person is incorrect, and if the other person is not getting the point, then the solution is to up the ante in terms of argument and emotional pressure. During my corporate years, there was a woman of some power in my organization, and she had a sign above her desk that said, "I'm not arguing with you, I'm just explaining to you how I'm right." And while everyone got the joke, it really was an aphoristic expression of the cultural model I'm talking about. This woman had the political clout within the organization to stick to that line, and when she said something, that was more or less the end of it. But that doesn't work in a day-to-day basis, especially amongst people that we are close to or have relationships with. I also remember some time ago coming across a quote that went something like, "Just because you've silenced me doesn't mean you've convinced me." So if my facts and arguments are so overwhelming that the other person sinks into defeat, that doesn't mean that I've moved my cause forward in any kind of way. No matter how well I mean, I've moved it backwards by engendering resentment, resistance, and defensiveness in the mind of my opponent. So our cultural model just doesn't work. Not for the kind of discussions we're talking about anyway. Another problem that shows up in these kinds of conversations is that as we recognize the threat that can come with this kind of confrontational conversation, our emotions can tend to take over. We become less and less capable of being thoughtful about what we're saying and what the effect of what we're saying is on other people. So we become dumber, not smarter, in the way we talk to others in this kind of confrontational situation. Fortunately, there is a simple and accessible answer, accessible to everyone, to these challenges presented by the cultural practice of arguing over something that's important, and that is simply to listen. So right away, we bump into, once again, our cultural models. Typically, as we listen to someone we disagree with, we start mentally rebutting what the other is saying in preparation for our counter-argument and preparation for sometimes our counter-attack, especially to do if we feel there is an aspect of attack coming from the other person, that our integrity as an individual, our intelligence is being questioned by this person who is fiercely clinging to his or her cultural model of winning the debate. Back in the 80s, there was an author and a conversation specialist named Suzette Hayden Elgin. She wrote a book called The Gentle Art of Verbal Self-Defense. One of the tactics she recommended was to constantly be asking, as we listen, what could possibly be true about what this person is saying? This is the opposite of preparing for a rebuttal of what the person is saying. I'm thinking also of the philosopher Ken Wilber's sardonic quote, "No one is smart enough to be 100% wrong." Both of these points are ways of illustrating that no matter how much we disagree with another person, it is worth listening to them from the perspective of looking for some truth, some common ground. Okay, so I've listened to the other person and I pretty much totally disagree with what that person has said to me. Then what? Okay, I'm going to quote from the Seven Habits guy, Stephen Covey, who said, "Seek first to understand." Few concepts are as powerful in a potentially disputatious conversation as this simple one. Seek to understand. And be clear, we're talking about understanding, not agreeing. For a lot of us, there's kind of a built-in thing. Well, if I show some understanding of this person, they're going to think I agree with them. Not so. We can understand and can disagree completely. It is helpful, at the very minimum, to understand what the person is saying so that we can evaluate what they're actually saying, not what we're projecting that they're saying. I have personally seen the effectiveness of this approach over and over. Most people care more about being understood than being right. May not seem true, but try it out. I know that's certainly true of me, and most arguments are a result of each person trying to get the other person to understand, and in that arguing format, understanding is seldom, if ever, the result. With each rebuttal, there's something new to be rebutted, and it goes on and on. So the route to understanding is just simply to check out with the other person if you do understand what they're saying or not, and do it in an authentic manner. So easy to slip into sarcasm or thinly veiled disrespect or disagreement. So important to start from a perspective of really truly wanting to understand the other person. So it would go something like this. So what I'm hearing is that you personally are not concerned about climate change. Is that right? So let's say the other person doesn't think you really do understand. So just keep openly and honestly questioning until you get confirmation from the other person that you do understand correctly. As you do this process, it's helpful to watch the body language of the other person. I'm pretty sure that you'll see the temperature and offensiveness going down in the other person as that person comes to realize that you do understand his or her point. So just parenthetically here, at some point in this kind of discussion, it's common for a person to ask, okay, fine, I'm willing to understand the other person, but what if that other person is not willing to understand me? Well, you're not doing a bargain. You may have to be the understanding person for a long time. For now, the goal is simply to defuse the situation, keep the doorway to future conversations open, and make sure it's not closed right off the bat. Doesn't mean the doorway is ever going to open, it just holds out that possibility. Doing a confrontation, as George and Harry's case, just doesn't work. Okay, so the other person sees that I understand. Now what? Well, today seems like quote day for me, so here's another one from Socrates. People are most convinced by that which they discover for themselves. While it's occasionally possible to convince another person, that usually does not happen, and in our society in particular, trying to convince another person just about automatically meets with resistance. So the route forward from here is carefully, thoughtfully, respectfully ask the other person about their point of view and how they got there. Questions like, what do you think is the most important concern about this subject? Or what did you find convincing as you considered this subject? And then kick right into showing the person you understand as they explain that to you. So there's nothing quick about influencing another person's opinion. Think about your own opinion. Haven't you invested years, perhaps decades, in developing the opinions you have right now? And looking back as you've changed your mind about something, hasn't that usually involved a long process of internal inquiry, careful evaluation? Think back on the last time you've changed your mind on something significant. So all the stuff that kept you from rapidly changing your mind is also true in everyone else's mind. So above all else, patience is called for. So is this a magical formula? No, it's not. It's just a tactic, an approach that has some chance of working. We all have limited time and energy, and the reality is that some people in some circumstances will not be a good use of your time and energy in engaging in conversation. There is an expression that's a favorite of mine, work with the living. This simply means that as I go about my life, I want to associate myself with people who haven't fallen into an ideological fanaticism. People who at some level or other, especially if approached respectfully, are willing to talk about the points of view, those are the people I'm willing to talk to. I do think it's important to not use this approach as a way of avoiding all uncomfortable conversations. It's just a way of triaging away those who are not as good use of your time and energy. For most people, this approach is awkward and strange, especially at first, and you may find that you have to try several times to even get started on the practice just once. It's a good idea to practice on a conversation with somebody you're close to and who you trust. We all have disagreements with everybody from time to time, so sometime when the temperature is down in a conversation, but there's some small disagreement, just try understanding what the other person has to say, showing them that you understand, and then getting some understanding of how they reach that point of view. Once you've done enough practice with that kind of non-threatening environment, you may be ready to move on to a little more difficult conversation. One about climate change, for instance. In all of this, patience is so important. You can influence others' opinions for better, but probably only over time. And while following this practice, it's important to keep your own act together all around the terms of climate change. Modeling behavior that you want to see in others is the very best non-conversational way of influencing other people. So belonging to organizations that are working towards a clean future, be thoughtful around your own home and in your work. Respectfully discuss with organizations you belong to the idea of disinvesting from fossil fuels, for instance. So summing up, listen and seek first to understand. From that basis, success in influencing the opinions of others for the better becomes possible. Not guaranteed, but possible. So that's it for today. It's been great talking with you. And you can contact me via email anytime, John, J-O-H-N, at cclTacoma.org. The CCL stands for Citizens Climate Lobby, of course. Also visit that website, cclTacoma.org. There's a ream of good stuff on that website, a shortcut to a lot of understandings about what's going on in the fossil fuel world and the move towards a cleaner climate. And also a great place for you to join in if you decide you want to share your passion for a clean future with others. So here I am once again reminding you, as always, live like the mountain is out. Take care now.